Well, Mayor Mike Rawlings is speaking out as to why Toyota picked Plano over Dallas. What is the reason that Mike Rawlings, our mayor in chief, the number one commissioner, said that Toyota, which this is a huge deal, them moving to the Metroplex, bringing 4,000 jobs with them, is moving to Plano instead of Dallas?
Because we don't have big-time golf yet. City of Dallas didn't finish that course that he talked about.
Pretty good guess. Craig?
Because he was unable to book the Gin Blossoms in Dallas.
Hey, let me tell you something right now, okay? You two look at me in the eye. Look him in the eye. Look him in the eye.
I am.
Look me in the eye. You little whiny pansy. Listen. Toyota's not coming to Dallas because of DISD, okay? That crap school district that we got here, okay? We need to shape this thing up, all right? We need home rule. We need it now. All right, now I want you, Craig, you go out there right now and you get us home rule school district.
Well, I got a broadcast.
Oh, wait.
Don't you talk to me
I'm
like
sorry,
that. Don't you dare talk to me like that. You hear me?
I will go get you home rule school district.
You feel that right there? I'm squeezing your nuts. I'll tear them off right now.
I feel it.
Yeah, he said that he was on Think with Chris Boyd, and he said that we don't get Toyota in Dallas because of the school system. We've talked to them. They want to be in Plano. All right? The 7-Eleven CEO, they moved to Irving. He said, I need to be where our families are sending the kids to school, and they're not sending them to the DISD. All right? So, now, of course, spokesperson for the DISD. This didn't go over too well with them. And they point out, for the third year in a row, they have the best high school in the country.
That's one of the many.
Right. That's kind of a little bit cheap.
It
because
is.
Just if you get one in the top 10, then that means that the rest of them, you...
No, what percentage of kids are going to Booker T. Washington? Yeah, and all of the DISD, what percentage? I don't know.
0.1%?
0.1%.
I don't know. I'm not good at math because I was DISD.
You know what? I don't know if that's the reason, but I think that's probably a reason, and I think Rawlings is probably right.
Yeah, I think he is, too. He also said that it was, quote, a miracle that AT&T chose to move its corporate headquarters to Dallas from San Antonio based on our schools.
A miracle.
A miracle.
Like Romo.
In other news, in Craig's home state of Oklahoma.
One of my home states.
How can you have multiple home states?
Because I was born in Texas, and I've spent most of my life in Texas, but I was reared in Oklahoma.
Uh-oh. You've been reared in Dallas, too. I know for a fact.
Bottom.
Anyway, back to the death story. So a death row inmate. On Tuesday night, he was supposed to be put to death. And so they get him in the execution chamber there. And he, by the way, he, what did he do? He killed some people. Oh, he was convicted of shooting a 19-year-old named Stephanie Neiman and watching two accomplices bury her alive in 1999.
Hmm.
That's a tough one.
Oh.
So he gets in there. They strap him to the gurney, and they're going to administer these new drugs to them. You know, since the major manufacturer of that one drug that we always used to use, that drug was called Old Reliable. On the street. It always worked. So now I had to switch to some new stuff. So anyway, they're executing him, and they inject him. And about 20 minutes after the first drug was administered, they put a halt to it because it wasn't working. He had vein failure of some kind, and the chemicals weren't reaching where they needed to reach to kill him.
Did you say after 20 minutes?
Yes, and he was writhing and convulsing on the gurney and shaking uncontrollably, according to witnesses.
Man.
So, he finally dies after receiving all three drugs, but that's after he had a heart attack. He had to have a heart attack to be dead of death. The execution starts, he's unconscious 10 minutes later. And then his death didn't come until 43 minutes after the drug started flowing. According to the Oklahoman, Lockett grimaced and tensed his body several times over a 3-minute period.
This is his favorite part.
Before the execution. It's not the right music for it then. No, that's not the right music. It needs X-Files or something. No, that's never the right music for an execution. Lockett grimaced and tensed his body several times over a 3-minute period before the execution was shielded from the press, the curtain drawn. After being declared unconscious 10 minutes into the process, Lockett spoke at 3 separate moments. The first 2 were inaudible. However, the 3rd time he spoke, Lockett said, "Man."
That's it?
That's it?
That's the conclusion of the report on that.
Remember a long time ago a P1 invited you to see somebody put to death? He was a relative of some victim?
His parents were killed in a home invasion.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 3 guys that were sentenced to death, I believe, for that crime.
Is that still pending?
You know, I haven't heard from the guy in 7 years. Mm. But the guy who was going to be executed, he would get a date, and then it would get extended somehow. And I never heard the end of it.
Because I picture you in the holding room or the viewing room eating a Snickers.
Okay.
Being incredibly insensitive.
Chair, you're on probation for that. There was supposed to be another guy that was executed, I think, the same day or within 24 hours. And it was going to be the first double execution since 1937 in Oklahoma to be executed on the same day.
Hmm.
Last double execution in America was in Texas in 2000. So they suspended the second one after this first one went so poorly. So, Lockett's request of a last meal, you ready?
Nope.
Steak, shrimp. You want a little surf and turf?
Okay.
I like steak.
A large baked potato.
With baked potatoes.
A Kentucky bourbon pecan pie. And all of this, of course, was denied because it exceeded the $15 limit. They put a $15 limit on the last meal in Oklahoma.
Well,
he also declined a separate offer from the warden for a dinner from Western Sizzlin.
Hmm.
What? Okay,
sounds
dude,
like a pretty good deal to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, why are you being so picky?
I don't know.
You're about to convulse for 43 minutes. V. Stiviano says she is very saddened that Donald Sterling's been banned for life from the NBA. She said that she never wanted to harm Donald.
This is another fascinating element of this story. If she is telling the truth that she did not release the tapes, then who did?
Perhaps she had another boyfriend who had access to her computer or phone that these recordings were on. I don't know. But they did say, her attorney did say she did not release this stuff, and it was released by someone, and they did it for money.
Hmm. Okay. That eliminates prime suspect number 1, Magic Johnson, who was in the photos,
mm-hmm.
and there has been a rumor going around that it was Magic that released them.
That he engineered all this.
Yeah,
to
he engineered
the Clippers.
It, right, so he could buy the Clippers.
Her attorney says, my client is devastated that this got out. He also said that Stiviano and Donald Sterling never had a sexual or romantic relationship, and descriptions of her as his mistress in the media are erroneous.
What? Then what kind
like
of relationship?
We'll watch basketball together?
I don't know, but I thought that meant that they were involved sexually. If it's erroneous, if you're touching someone's erroneous zones. And her lawyer said that his client was a hardworking young woman who supported herself waitressing and volunteered helping crime victims before signing on to work as an archivist for Sterling.
How many sweet cars did she have?
Well, according to Sterling's wife, she had like 5 Bentleys and Range Rovers and all kinds of stuff. And her lawyer also said she had no association with rich people before this.
Hmm.
But you remember the beginning of those recordings? And she said, "Hey, baby, come on, honey, let me get you some juice.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, it's okay, baby." Sterling bought the club for $12.5 million in 81, and according to Forbes, I have updated figures here. I've heard as much as a billion, but this says Forbes values them at $575 million.
But the sale price would be higher.
You think?
Yeah.
13th most valuable franchise in the league. So the potential bidders, have you seen that list?
No.
You got David Geffen, who he's valued at $6.2 billion. That's his worth. He tried to buy him in 2010. Rick Caruso, who is a billionaire real estate developer, he was in partnership with Joe Torre trying to get the Dodgers at one time. And, of course, Magic Johnson, as we mentioned, he's teamed up with the Guggenheim partners. And he teamed up with them to purchase the Dodgers from Frank McCourt. I thought he was an author of some kind.
Who, Magic?
No, Frank McCourt. And he once owned 4.5% of the Lakers. He sold that for an undisclosed sum back in 2010.
Magic's got a ton of money.
Patrick Soon-Shiong. He is a billionaire doctor, biotech investor, and a longtime sports fan in Los Angeles. And Larry Ellison, the guy from Oracle, he tried to purchase the Golden State Warriors, I guess.
I wouldn't be surprised if Magic's group gets them, if they are indeed sold.
Magic's good at getting a lot of things that he wants.
Yeah, he's started a lot of
He had those theaters. Remember, he started the line of theaters? And he's a big-time businessman. And I think that this is a little bit strange on the Donald Sterling story. Did you see what UCLA has done? They are rejecting Donald Sterling's $3 million gift to help kidney research at their the school's division of nephrology.
I think I'd go ahead and take the gift, unless you had to, unless you had to rename the building the Donald Sterling Building.
Well, in a strange twist of this, UCLA says that a thank you ad that ran in weekend editions of the Los Angeles Times had been placed by Sterling, not UCLA, thanking him for the gift.
Really?
Yeah. And in the ad, it claimed that the research lab would be named in Donald and Shelley Sterling's honor.
And they
said that was false, and that was never a condition of the original donation. But so they're giving back $3 million. The NAACP said that it is going to return a donation that Sterling made to their group. The Jewish Federation of Greater Los Angeles also said that they would no longer accept donations from Donald Sterling.
What are they doing with the big trophy that they're about to give him?
The NAACP? I guess they're going to take the plaque off of it and rebrand it and, I don't know, give it to Cuban. Something like that. So should you reject the guy's money?
Isn't
this a good thing to move the money out of Donald Sterling's hands and into...
For good?
Yeah, and use it for good.
Especially if part of the deal was that we don't have to name the building after you. I don't understand why they're doing this.
Grandstanding? Is that it?
I guess. Is that worth $3
million? Or is there some sort of... is this really blood money? I mean, I understand that you don't accept blood money.
No, it's not blood money.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
I mean, he made money by managing buildings, screwing over poor people.
Yeah, but you could say, well, we're taking the $3 million that he made off of the Clippers being good.
Hot dog sales.
Yeah, yeah, just classified as hot dog sale donations. And Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, and Mark Hamill are all going to be in the next Star Wars movie directed by J.J. Abrams.
You happy?
Yes, I'm happy. Peter Mayhew's also going to be in it. Carrie Fisher. I already mentioned her, sorry. Anthony Daniels and Kenny Baker.
Who's going to play the part of R2-D2?
Kenny Baker.
That's a tough acting job, man.
This is another weird rant that you have.
He doesn't have any lines.
Bagging on Kenny Baker's
work. And he just scrunches down into a can.
I don't think he has to scrunch.
Oh.
he's a little person, sir.
So is the movie going to be like a remake of the original?
No. It's episode 7.
Story.
I thought there were just 6.
Well, now this is going to be the 7th. This is the new one. Yeah,
not anymore.
You can't write 7. A new one.
Why not?
Because there were just 6.
There's a 7th one written, then there's a 7th one.
You can't decide in the year 2014 that there's going to be a 7th.
They just did it.
Isn't there tons of different stories about Star Wars? I'm pretty sure there are hundreds of books written about the Star Wars franchise.
Yeah, just don't worry about that part now. They're ignoring all of that.
Cloris Leachman is 88 years of age.
She's got biggins.
I'm sorry?
Just
Tig Ol' Bitties.
Craig Miller.
Tig Ol' Bitties?
Do an image search, and you will see that I am right.
Like, does she ever show him full? Have you ever seen him, like, without the cloth on him?
You don't. She doesn't need to unleash them for you to realize how big they are.
Why? Because they'll hit her loafers?
Probably at 88.
Willie Nelson is 81 years of age.
All right.
Burt Young is ironically named. He's 74.
He's Bully from...
what an actor.
Little Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Chalk Dalrymple of Soul For Real is 43. He's the band member who walks around and doesn't do anything and doesn't give you access to the other band members. That's the Rich Dalrymple joke. We're getting rich. You know it. All right. Kirsten Dunst is 32. And Isaiah Thomas is 53 years of age.
Okay.
The Big Eye. Wasn't that his nickname? No. Okay.